Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, praise God, everyone, and welcome to this Friday Healing Day of Prayer. And this is John Madrigal with you on this Friday, that September the 23rd, which is marks the feast of St. Padre Pio. And we're going to have a special program today. It's always a special program, but today I think is a little extra special. And with us today to celebrate that is Grace Marquet. Grace, welcome.
John, it's wonderful to be here today. It really is. We thank God.
Even with all the obstacles.
Oh, my goodness. This was the one time I said, I don't think we're going to make it.
Yeah.
We had this incredible backup on the Blue Route.
Yes, we
and
did.
And I just kept looking at that little clock in the car saying, Come on. We're here.
You know what you mean, but we're made
here.
It.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. Thank the good Lord. We're here. And today's our Friday day of prayer, John.
Yes, it is.
It's the day in which we ask our wonderful listeners to call in with your prayer intentions, and we will pray for them. And I believe, like you said, John, it's going to be a powerful day. First of all, the obstacles that we ran into.
Oh, yeah.
And also because we're going to ask one of our most beloved saints to intercede for our listeners and take their intentions to the Lord. A saint who is known and loved by people of every nation, all over the world. Saint Padre Pio, Saint Pio of Pietrelcina. Yeah. And today is his feast day. Which makes today, as you said, very special. And you know, John, when you say his name to people who know him, they'll immediately say, Padre Pio. I love Padre Pio. I love him. They'll say, he was a simple monk. He was a simple priest who bore the stigmata, the wounds of Jesus Christ. And the Lord blessed him with so many gifts, far beyond our understanding, gifts that brought the Padre great joy, but also gifts that brought him immense suffering. So we have so much to share about Saint Padre Pio today as we pray for your intentions. At times you'll hear me use the Italian. You hear me say Padre Pio, and at times you'll hear me say the English Padre Pio.
Padre Pio.
So excuse me, whichever path I choose to take, it's the same one. And also as a saint, he's called Saint Pio.
Saint Pio.
Of Pietrelcina.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So we're going to begin with prayer.
Yes.
And after prayer, I will give you our telephone numbers.
Okay.
For you to call in. And the prayer that, John, that I'm going to say today is called the Most Powerful Healing Prayer by Saint Padre Pio. It touches on so many areas of our lives that need healing. So just think of Padre Pio praying his words of healing for you. This is his prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the world to save and to set me free. I trust in your power and grace that sustain and restore me. Loving Father, touch me now with your healing hands, for I believe that your will is for me to be well in mind, body, soul, and spirit. Cover me with the most precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Cast out anything that should not be in me. Root out any unhealthy and abnormal cells. Open any blocked arteries or veins, and rebuild and replenish any damaged areas. Remove all inflammation and cleanse any infection by the power of Jesus' precious blood. Let the fire of your healing love pass through my entire body to heal and make new any diseased areas so that my body will function the way you created it to function. And touch also my mind, my emotions, even the deepest recesses of my heart. Saturate my entire being with your presence, your love, joy, and peace, and draw me ever closer to you every moment of my life. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to do your works so that my life will bring glory and honor to your holy name. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And amen.
Amen. And amen. That's a beautiful
prayer.
That is
a beautiful prayer.
That's the powerful healing prayer of Padre Pio.
I do have that prayer, too.
Do you have that?
I have that prayer, and we use it, yes.
It's so inclusive. It really touches on everything, as he always did himself, you know? So we would like you to call in with your prayer intentions. Mm-hmm. And we have our telephone numbers right here. If you have a pen, write them down. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. I'll say them again. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. So, we will begin today by praying for a few of the prayer intentions that we we do have here. And, of course, that's the purpose of our day of prayer, to pray for your holy intentions through the intercession today of St. Padre Pio.
Amen.
And then we'll go into the life of this remarkable man. We'll tell you about him. We'll give you his background, his bio, his parents. We'll tell you about that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be overwhelmed by his remarkable gifts. So first of all, we're going to pray.
Should we go to a caller? Or we have already have a caller online. Okay, let's go
to
line one, and I think we have a great devotee of Padre Pio, Paul. So let's go to line one, and hi, Paul.
Hey, John, Grace.
Hi,
yes,
Paul, how are you?
In honor of St. Padre Pio, for all the people, the intention of the people that listen to As the Spirit Leads.
Yes.
Yes.
I have great devotion. I've been here, San Giovanni Rotunda, I've been here 5 times.
Wow.
And I have a devotion since, let me see, it was 78, May of 78. I had a large spur in my right foot. So I was in my combine. I started just a job at City Hall. He said, well, pray to Padre Pio. I said, who is that? He took his prayer card out, so I made a 9-day novena. The 9th day, the pain went away. And so it's 43 years.
Wow. That is incredible.
43 years.
That is Padre Pio. That is what gifts that beautiful man has. What gifts. Yes. And we're so happy to hear you call, Paul. You're such a friend of this nation, of this station.
Yeah, he's very powerful. And like I said, I've been to San Giovanni Rotunda 5 times. I had 2 vivid dreams of him. So, I can't wait to go back.
Of course, St. Giovanni Rotunda is where the monastery is, where Padre Pio lives. Our Lady of Grace Friary, he lived there for...
Yeah.
5 times. And on Wednesday, was at the one in Jersey?
Yes, Buena.
Times where they had a big festival. They had loads of food. They had they had a choir, singing, the whole nine yards.
Oh. Well, this is his feast day and weekend, so this is the time to do it.
I'll be at St. Annunciation tonight. They have a feast day, man. So.
God bless you. God bless you.
Okay, so God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. God bless.
Amen. Oh, that was...
Okay.
That was very nice. Well,
I think we have another caller on the line, Grace.
Good, they're coming
so
in.
So let's go to line two and Vanessa. Okay, let's go to Vanessa on line two. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
Hi, Vanessa.
Say
how
hello
are you?
To Grace.
Hello to the both of you.
Hi.
Hi, Vanessa. Did you have a prayer request for us?
Yes, please. I'm asking to be delivered from depression and also from a recent diagnosis of spinal stenosis, which is very painful.
Okay, amen, amen. Amen. Would you like to take that, John?
Okay.
Depression and spinal stenosis,
which is
very, very painful.
Well, Lord, we pray the prayer of Padre Pio this, as we begun the program today, and then we call on his intercession today to help Vanessa in a way that to whom shall we go? And so we come to you, and through Padre Pio's intercession, we ask that you would touch Vanessa in a very special way, and that you would begin a mighty work of healing. and help, especially alleviation from pain. We remember Padre Pio had a hospital called Relief for Suffering, and the House for Relief for Suffering. So we prayed that Padre Pio would help you in a special way today, Vanessa, and I ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Vanessa. God bless you. I know that spinal stenosis is very painful. I had a friend who had that, and she couldn't move with it. So, we, like John said, we're praying through Padre Pio that you be healed, Vanessa, and you have peace. We pray you peace today.
Yes, have peace.
Peace. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. Go to Padre Pio also. This is his feast day. Talk to him today. He's very loving and very powerful.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank
honey.
You, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
You too,
you
honey.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Wasn't she sweet?
She certainly was. So soft-spoken.
So soft-spoken.
My goodness.
Oh, I hope that pain goes. Padre, we're invoking.
Yeah, Padre Pio, we ask.
Right. But we have more prayer intentions here, John.
Yes, we do.
And I'm looking here. There's a group of, you know, they say COVID's over. No, it's not. No, it's not. We have a group right here that I'm going to put them together and pray for these intentions, okay? We have here Anna Grillo, and Anna really is not feeling well. She's older, and she can hardly speak. She's having a really rough time. We pray for her with her COVID. We have Maria Bazzi. Now, she's praying for her daughter who has COVID and her daughter's husband, and her daughter also has other medical issues. So we pray for them for their COVID and other issues, and that's a concern to Maria. I mean, she, you know, loves her family. There's another family here, and we know her. Maria, we have Terza. Terza and her two children.
Oh, yes.
Her little boy, 7, and her daughter, I think, is in high school.
Okay.
And both she and her children had COVID. And then the next day, her mother, who lives with them, Antonia.
Antonia, sure,
came down with. So that's in that one house, you have four people. So we pray for them. I know just yesterday I found out about someone in my neighborhood has COVID. And, you know, it's like bing, 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 you know. And there's one here with COVID. Her name is Janice. Janice is on a ventilator in a hospital. And that touches me in particular because my dear sister Dolores, whose feast day was this week, September 15th, our mother of Mater Dolorosa,
Dolores. Lady of Sorrows.
Our Lady of Sorrows was my sister's feast day. And in the height of the pandemic, my sister Dolores was on a ventilator in a hospital, and she died of COVID.
Yeah.
Tremendous loss, tremendous. Yeah. Couldn't go see her, horrible. So I'm going to ask Dolores now, who's in her just reward. I believe the way she suffered, she's in heaven. Dolores, intercede for Janice on this ventilator. Just get her off of there. And with the COVID, we just lift them all up right now. We lift them all up. We ask, Lord, the breath of God, breathe through them. Be the breath for them, all these people suffering. And we look at Padre Pio, who we're invoking today. He himself suffered with bronchial inflammation his whole life. In fact, he was so sick, they thought he was going to die. So, Padre Pio, you know what it is to live a lifetime not being able to breathe, suffering, high temperatures, very high temperatures. So we know you're hearing these COVID patients and that you are going to pray for them today and be with them. That is just so beautiful. John, there is a patient, let's see, his name is, Ricky. Ricky, during the pandemic, he pulled himself back from everything. He stayed inside. He didn't connect with his friends, male or female. But now he's anxious to get back to college, meet with his friends, and he tried doing that, but it didn't work out the way he liked. He has developed some emotional issues. He's having a hard time moving on. And his grandmother is worried about him. She's asking for prayer. So you're very good, John, with these situations, with these gentlemen, and I'm going to ask you to pray for Ricky.
And Lord, to this day, as we invoke the intercession of St. Pio Pietrosina. I ask that the Padre obtain for Ricky all that he needs, that he will obtain the grace and the mercy that will help him and bring healing into his life. Because, Lord, we believe that favors are being spent this day So I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, through the intercession of our Mother Mary in union with Padre Pio. Amen.
Amen and amen. And another one. We have a lot of intercessions. We will get to some of our other information, but right now this is our priority. We got a call from Marie Menta. And Marie said someone she knows, her name is Kathy Verrilli. Now, Kathy Verrilli went to the same high school I did. I think she was in a different class, but Marie told me that Kathy Verrilli, just a few days back, was in the kitchen, and she took a fall. She was alone. And sadly, she passed away. That is the way Marie explained it to me, that Kathy passed away from falling. And the fact that she was alone has really disturbed Marie. Marie said that her family would be listening today. So right now, I lift up Kathy Verrilli and her family, if they're listening. I ask the Lord to send you his peace. And the fact that she was alone, I thought of something today. I said, you know, she wasn't alone.
No.
Because the fact that a few days ago we didn't even know about this, and yet again today we are on the radio praying through the intercession of Padre Pio for Kathy Verrilli and her family. That tells me the Padre was with her. I believe in my heart that she wasn't alone. I believe Padre Pio was with her, and the fact that we're praying right now through him that she is with him. And I hope that gives the family of Kathy some peace.
Amen.
Because I'm not saying that just to be nice. I believe that.
I know you do.
She was a Goretti girl, St. Maria Goretti,
my high school.
Right from my high school. So, Kathy, I'm going to say to you, keep me and keep us
in your prayers. Amen.
Amen and amen. And you know, John, I have one more before we move on here. This is special also. On our last program, we prayed for a wonderful 97-year-old woman. She was from Midland Park, New Jersey. Her name was Annie. Remember Annie?
Yes.
Annie. She was a dear heart, and on September 17th, she passed away. And today was her funeral service. And Annie is a relative through marriage in my heart. And her life was spent serving others. Her whole life spent serving others. She was a nurse for many years. And get this, John, she was a soprano in the choir for 60 years at her church. 60 years showing up to sing in her church. How beautiful. Now get this one. She made thousands of desserts to help fund the building of a new church. Thousands of. I could just see making one dessert and complaining.
Yeah.
And here's Annie. She made thousands of desserts to build the new church. And when she retired, very impressive, she became the church caregiver for almost 20 years. 20 years as a caregiver at our church. She was a gift to all who knew her and always put others before herself. She is certainly the poster child for Matthew 25. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was alone, you visited me. So we have visited the passing of a saint, and our sympathy and love is with Annie's family. And family, you were blessed to have her for 97 years. She'll always be there for you. St. Teresa of Calcutta said this: love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action. And that action is service. And service was Annie's life.
Amen. That's
amen
beautiful.
Amen and amen. And let us pray the eternal rest for both Kathy and Annie right now.
Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon them. And may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
We have another caller on the line, Grace. So let's go back to the phones and go to line one. And we'll go to Peggy. Hi, Peggy.
Oh, hi, John. I have a prayer request for my son, Andrew, and I would like to pray for him to stop smoking and also anxiety.
Anxiety.
Yes.
Okay, Peggy.
Andrew.
So we're praying for Andrew today, all right?
Yes.
So we're lifting up Andrew in a special way through the intercession of Padre Pio.
Right.
And we're going to ask for a very special intervention today on behalf of Andrew. And I call on St. Andrew, his patron saint, with us today, and ask Padre Pio and St. Andrew to both pray as we lift up a very special request from Peggy today for that deliverance from smoking. And what was that other thing you mentioned, Peggy?
Anxiety.
And for that anxiety. Yes. And we asked the Padre to intercede on behalf of Andrew today for that. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name through the intercession of Our Lady. And we say amen and amen.
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 And one other thing I'd like to say, John and Gloria, is my girlfriend Kathy, today is her birthday, and she has a great, great devotion to St. Padre Pio. Mm. So if you could say a little birthday blessing for Kathy.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we ask a birthday blessing today in a very special way upon Kathy today and on this feast day of St. Pio. Many blessings, many graces, many favors, many gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you, Peggy, for calling today.
You're welcome.
Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you. Is there another one here?
We might be coming to one, but you want to give those numbers out again, Grace?
Sure. The numbers, let's see, I have them right here, 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Amen. So, John, we have so much to share today on this saint that we're interceding to, St. Padre Pio. And we're blessed to have many first-hand accounts of the life of this holy man.
Mm.
And what's unbelievable is that he lived in our time. He didn't live in the 8th century or
the
13th century. He lived in our time. He died in 1968.
68, yes.
Yeah, that wasn't long ago.
I remember that, no.
Yeah, he lived among us. Many, many people met him, like our friend Paul was there. He was there at the monastery and received healings through his prayers and intercessions. So he was beatified in 1999 by Pope John Paul II, and he was canonized a saint just 3 years later by the same Pope, our dear John Paul II, in 2002. Glory to God. The entire world waited for Padre Pio's canonization because he went through so much, so much, good and bad, and he was finally recognized as having led a life of heroic virtue and sacrifice. There was great joy all over the world when he was canonized. In fact, it was like, it's about time. I don't know who went through everything he went through. So how does one attempt to describe a Padre Pio or to speak of his sufferings and the holiness of his life? It would be impossible. In fact, John, when we were preparing these radio programs, we were overwhelmed by the inexhaustible treasure of documented information. And I believe in my heart that centuries from now, and I don't know if I read this or I thought of it myself, that centuries from now, people will be speaking of the life and the person of the Padre as we now speak of St. Francis of Assisi. That's how big.
Well, they called him, I heard, called him a second St. Francis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And he's only been around not even anywhere
as right.
long. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. He loved him. He loved St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Franciscan friar who followed in his footsteps. Born May 25th. My friend Janet loves that because May 25th was her birthday.
Birthday.
I was born on Padre Pio's birthday. He was born in a little town in Italy called Pietrelcina, near Naples. His father's name was Grazio Forgione, and his mother Maria Giuseppe D'Annunzio. His mother named him Francesco because she had a great devotion to St. Francis. Now, who could have foreseen, just a few short years later, her own son would bear the stigmata, the wounds of Jesus Christ that St. Francis bore.
Mm.
And the Padre's parents had 8 children, 3 died in infancy. They had a son, Michele, and a daughter, Grazia, Grace. I have a brother, Michael. Grace entered the religious life, but sadly, two of their other daughters died when their parents were in their 30s. So as you can see, they experienced a great deal of suffering with their losses. Their mom said that Francesco, at the age of 5, wanted to become a priest, and she said he would see visions of Jesus and Mary. So his father went to Brazil to work in Brazil because they were poor and they had to get money if he was going to become a priest for his education. But no way, he had to borrow money to come home. They were as poor there as home. His father left for America then to find work, and he settled in New York where his son Michele lived. But then he returned to Italy after World War I ended. The family made little money as farmers on the land they tilled, called Piano Romano. And now the schoolhouse where the future Padre Pio studied wasn't a building. Now get this schoolhouse. It was a spare room with no desks. Imagine the children doing that today. Spare room, no desk. The children had to go to school in the evening because in the daytime they had to lead the sheep out to pasture. Can you see that telling your children? You're going to have to go to school at night because you have to lead the sheep out to pasture. So many, many sacrifices were made to enable their son's desire for a priestly vocation. And when it was time for the padre to leave for the novitiate, he asked for his mother's blessing. She was sad, but she knew what she had to do. She said, "My dear child, my heart is bleeding, but St. Francis calls you and you must go." He was given the name Pio after Pope St. Francis V, whom he revered. But he would see his parents again because, as I said, he suffered from that bronchial inflammation and at times was very weak. Because of his ill health, he would on occasion receive permission to leave the monastery in San Giovanni Rotondo and return to his parents' home to be nursed back to health. So he did see that, he did. And in fact, at times, he also was in the Italian army. No one knows that too much. He spent some time in the Italian army. But again, he was too sick and he had to leave. So there's so much to discuss about him that we know, John, that it's going to be more than one show. We have, I see two, maybe three more shows.
Amen.
Dealing with the Padre.
We have to take a break now at this point. So when we come back, we're going to pick up where we left off with Padre Pio, St. Pio of Pietrelcina. And so you're listening to What the World Needs Now, and this is John Madrio with Grace Marquet. We're coming right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. and we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, praise God, everyone, and welcome back to this Friday Healing Day. And we're speaking of Padre Pio today. And Grace, let's pick up where we left off.
Sure, sure. As I said, we just have so much to say about him, and we'll get to it, as I said, in other programs. And hopefully before today ends, hopefully we'll get to a particular miracle that the Padre did. The people were the Calandra family, Vera Calandra and her daughter, who had an incredible miracle. And they are at the Shrine of the National Shrine in Bartow, Pennsylvania. And I had the privilege of meeting Vera on the day of Padre Pio's canonization. I was up there. And she was with Marie Burke, another friend.
Yes.
And Marie said, come on, I'll have you meet Vera. I was so thrilled because what a lovely and warm-hearted person she was. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more to come on that I will relate at some point. And I have a beautiful photo of the two of them together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Both Marie and Vera, they're now in the kingdom.
Amen.
And with Vera's husband also. So there's more to come. And but, you know, today we'll pray through Padre Pio, as we said, through everyone's intentions. And we're going to share a very human but spiritual part of him that's a source of wonderment for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the stigmata, the five bleeding wounds of Christ that he bore for 50 years.
Mm.
50 years. Both of his hands, both of his feet and his side. He bled a cup of blood a day. What a mystery for us to ponder. But in order to move on, my dear friends, in order to move on, we must face and zero in on the stigmata, because it was with him every day of his life. It drew attention to him, which he did not want. It was a source of saintliness in the eyes of many, but also a source of disbelief and ridicule to others. Till his dying day, they were still making fun of him and saying it wasn't true. But boy, it was ever true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wasn't it?
He was 23 years old when he started manifesting the visible signs of the stigmata. He was so confused and angry when it happened to him. He was in torture. He said, God, why have you forsaken me? He couldn't understand what was happening to him and was in great pain. So he wrote to his spiritual director, Padre Benedetto, and he said, yesterday evening something happened which I am unable to explain or understand. In the center of the palm of my hands, a redness appeared about the size of a centesimo, a cent. In the center of that red spot, there was also an intense and acute pain. Even under my feet, I can feel some pain. For almost a year now, I have had this. If you only knew, even now, I have to fight to tell you about it. And John, would you share with us some of the painful, suffering words that Padre Pio spoke when the stigmata was starting to come upon him? He was in agony.
Yes, Padre Pio said to his spiritual director, my heart beats violently when I find myself before Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. At times while at the altar, I feel my whole being burning up in a way I cannot describe. I do not know what these signs mean. This was the beginning of what eventually would come to be the visible wounds of Christ born in his body. He said, I was in the church making my thanksgiving after Mass, when suddenly I felt my heart wounded by a fiery arrow which burned with such intensity that I thought I would certainly die. My soul could only stand by in silence. What a fire it was. What sweetness. Oh, what a beautiful thing to become a victim of love. 5 years later, Padre Pio was being prepared for the most unbelievable mystical, and physical experience of his life. He writes, "Blood continues without ceasing. Oh my God, why do I not die? Do you not see that the very life of the soul you wounded is in torment? Forgive me, Father. I am beside myself, and I don't know what I am saying. The intense pain of the open wound makes me angry against my will. O God of my soul, where are you? Where have you gone to hide? You are all that I have. Have you given up me forever? I am completely feeble, and no strength remains in me. I see myself sentenced to live alone with my shortcomings. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" He calls to his spiritual director, "Please, my Father, come to help me. I fear that I will die from the loss of blood. My God, use me to show your mercy." Powerful.
Amen. John, never have we heard the depth of his suffering words like you just spoke. It was spoken from his agonizing heart. And over a 50-year period, his wounds constantly bled. Yet never did any infection set in. In a short time before his death, the wounds started disappearing. And moments after his death, those wounds totally disappeared. His skin miraculously cleared, leaving no scars. And his doctor was in his room and witnessed this miraculous occurrence. And the doctor said, "Skin does not regenerate after one dies, as it did on the body of Padre Pio."
So, you know,
you ask, why the stigmata? Why the wounds of Jesus Christ? Why the bleeding and suffering? This is something we find very difficult to understand. I mean, it almost seems that a loving God would never do something like this. Well, in 1910, the Padre offered himself to the Lord as a victim for sinners. Before he ever got this, he offered himself for the holy souls in purgatory. He asked the Lord to pour on him the suffering due others, quote, "so that they may be consoled and quickly admitted to paradise." He offered his life as a sacrifice for the redemption of others and for the sanctifying mission of the church. The Lord heard his humble, holy, and selfless prayer and gifted him with the sweet suffering of the stigmata. And only God knows how many souls have been saved by Padre Pio's living martyrdom. In fact, the scientist Enrico Medi stated, "It appears to me that there has never been a saint in the life and history of the church from whom Christ has demanded so much blood as from Padre Pio." The scientists saw this as a perennial passion to achieve a saving, sanctifying mission. How beautiful and powerful is that? He suffered so much. How many souls are up there in heaven because of his sacrifice for them? That is so mysterious, but in God's plan. John, we have a couple more prayers here.
Yeah.
We have, so he said, this is our day for our prayer intentions, invoking through Padre Pio. And let's see, we have the grandmother, again, another one that she prayed for Ricky. She's praying for her granddaughter, Sophia. Sophia has breast cancer. She also has a tumor in her back. And the doctor recommended that she have a bilateral mastectomy because of the nature of the cancer, of the genes and so on. I know some people that has happened to, you know, they just feel that you can't just have one breast removed, safe to have the two. So we pray for the grandmother going through this with both of her grandchildren, and we pray for them also. And I have another powerful one here. This is from our friend Mary DeAngelis. Her friend Lisa has cancer. So many different kinds, it keeps spreading different places. There's rods in her arms and legs, and she keeps fighting. She's not giving up. She persists at taking different tests and procedures, and she is now unable to walk. She is in a wheelchair, and the cancer spreads to different parts of her body. And the latest is that it has gone to her liver. And that is just devastating to hear that. It's such a horrible place to have to try to heal. So we say God bless her for continuing her struggle. What faith, what strength. And, you know, we never give up. We never give up, especially
right.
if
Praise
we're praying
God.
Through the intercession mm-hmm. of Padre Pio. We never, mm-hmm. never give up with his power. Mm-hmm. And we pray for also Mary's brother, Dino Vitale. Dino is in his 90s, 96, and he needs strength. Mm. She said he needs strength, and Lord, touch his mind. In fact, they just lost their brother in their 90s, mm. and now they're going through difficulty with Dino. So, Mary, we pray for your brother right now, that he have strength, and for your friend Lisa. John, you have one here, Brandon.
Yes, Brandon, 15-year-old, is facing two upcoming brain surgeries. So we want to pray for Brandon and that everything will go well through the intercession of Padre Pio.
Amen. 15 years old. Mm-hmm. 15 years old with the brain surgery. How difficult is that? Oh, my. Well, I think back, you know, when I first heard of Padre Pio, didn't always know who he was from a little child. But I heard about him when I was a young girl, okay? I was once young, John.
You're still young, Grace.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
My family lived in Philadelphia, and my father, who was from Italy, received a letter from a friend in Italy who told my dad of this saintly priest who bore the stigmata. He said Padre Pio was having a hospital built, like you said, in San Giovanni Rotondo called the Home for the Relief of Suffering. But, of course, I'll try the Italian name here. He called it Casa Sollievo della Sofferenza, the home for the relief of suffering. He would not call it a hospital. To him, mm-hmm. this had to be a home. Because the primary thing for that hospital was love. Had to be love. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable, the size of it now. They said it couldn't be built on the side of a mountain. It's on Mount Gargano, right near his mm-hmm. monastery. It's in medicine, in research. Every field you can think of is in that hospital. It was built in 1956. It's now 66 years old through the faith and love of Padre Pio. Mm, that's the main element. If you work there, mm-hmm. you have to be sure you're a loving person or you're going to go. Mm. That's so beautiful. So anyway, in this letter my father got, there was a black and white photograph of Padre Pio. And very visible was his bleeding hand. There was no glove on his hand. And the letter and photo made quite an impression on this little girl. I later made copies of that photo, and I mm-hmm. showed it along with other materials when I gave a concert on the life of Padre Pio through music mm. and teachings. I did give a concert. In fact, I even gave it up in Vermont at Our Lady of Ephesus House of Prayer. I did a life thing on Padre Pio. So that was the first time that I had heard of that. And the letter was asking my dad for a donation for the hospital. Now, I didn't ask my dad. Dad, did you send money? I'm going to believe that he did, because this really moved him. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he did. And the fact that I'm now speaking of it, I believe he did. Now, there was another incident that permanently etched the name of Padre Pio in my mind. And this had to do with my mother. One day, my mom came home with an incredible story. She had attended a meeting at our church, and at the meeting was a speaker by the name of Vera Calandra. There's that name, I'm saying mm-hmm. it again. Vera was the mother of six children, and when her fifth child was born, the baby was born with a massive urinary tract defect. The doctors at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia did not give her long to live. Somehow, the child managed to hang on and underwent four surgeries in which he was cut from side to side. The child's name was Vera Marie, same as her mom, Vera. Mm-hmm. At the age of two, this child had a raging fever and the doctors had to remove her urinary bladder. Her parents were told she was not going to live. Vera remembered the name of Padre Pio from a book someone had given her. She started praying to him, and she experienced a message from him in a distinct locution. And he said to her, "Bring your little girl to me here in Italy. Bring her to me and do not delay. Come immediately." Well, Here was a woman, Norristown, Philadelphia. I mean, she never did anything like this, but she took off for southern Italy to San Giovanni Rotondo with both her sick child and two of her other children. Can you imagine the difficulty of that trip? Taking airplanes, taking trains, going up the mountains in Italy. But she did that. She would stop at nothing for her child to be healed. And she arrived at the monastery, Our Lady of Grace Friary. And Mrs. Vera Calandra and her child, Vera Marie, met with Padre Pio twice. He placed his hands with the stigmata on their heads, even the children, the other children. And Vera silently promised that if her child was healed, she would let the whole world know of Padre Pio. When they returned to Philadelphia, Children's Hospital x-rayed Vera Marie. To their amazement, they almost couldn't report this immediately, really. To their amazement, a tiny rudimentary bladder had formed. This was a few days after they received this miraculous news. Padre Pio, now this is what's unbelievable. They had just gotten back to the Philadelphia and Norristown area when Padre Pio died. He died. Unbelievable. Now you know why he was saying to her, bring your little girl to me quick. Bring her. Do not delay. Come immediately. Well, Vera immediately knew her child had received her miracle through the intercession of Padre Pio. And this incredible story was written up, I believe, three times in the Journal of the American Medical Association. This was truly a miracle because once an organ, such as a bladder, is removed, it does not regenerate. Her child had a new bladder. Vera and her husband and their family kept their promise. From their home in Norristown, PA, they began an incredible work of evangelization, traveling worldwide, speaking to thousands of groups, promoting the life, virtues, and teachings of Padre Pio. The friars from the monastery send their materials, and they send it across the nation. And Vera Marie, well, let's get to her, the child who received the miracle. People say, well, whatever happened to her? Is she okay? Did she survive? Vera Marie is now the vice president of the National Center for Padre Pio in Bartow.
In Bartow, wow.
God is good.
All God the time.
God is good. Friends, my friends who are listening, be sure to put the National Center of Padre Pio on your bucket list. Some way, somehow, get there. It's near Allentown. And in the National Center, you will see an exact replica of Our Lady of Grace Chapel, where Padre Pio received his stigmata. There is a Padre Pio Spirituality Center. There is a museum, many artifacts of his life, a gift shop, a cultural center. You can purchase votive candles for your intentions. There are events, concerts, retreats, especially this weekend, the weekend of his feast day. There is even something called the Café San Pio. It's for on-site catering for your group. So if you went with a group, you could arrange for on-site catering. So go on to your website. Go on to that website, National Center for Padre Pio in Bartow, PA. It is so complete. There is so much information for you to absorb. There's even a picture of Vera and Harry on their wedding day. They are both now in heaven with the Lord and with Padre Pio. Boy, beautiful. When they got married, they had no idea
what God
had in store for them. Now, when Pope John Paul beatified Padre Pio, this is beautiful. Vera Calandra was asked to go to Rome and read the first reading at his Mass. What an honor. She also received the Pro Ecclesia et Pontifice Award from John Paul in recognition of her tireless service and dedication to the church. And all of this, John, started because of the faithfulness of Vera Calandra, a mother who wanted her child to live and would stop at nothing to have that happen. As I said, they've gone to their just reward, enjoying the presence of Padre Pio. And their family and their dedicated staff carry on their miraculous work through the intercession of Saint Pio. He had a great devotion also to the Blessed Mother. He really loved her, and he said she would follow him every day to Mass. She would go with him as he would go to say Mass, and he would confide to her the painful anxieties in his heart. And it was known among the monks in the monastery that because of Padre Pio's holiness, he was a perfect target for the devil. Devil always tried to deceive him, beat him up. The devil would go in his room, beat him up. And the friars could hear ruthless attacks by the devil on Padre Pio in his room. And at one point, the friars ran into his room. The devil had disappeared, and the padre was laying on the floor with a beautiful blue pillow under his head. Mm-hmm. Padre Pio didn't own a blue pillow. But knowing of Mary's love for him, the friars knew Mary had come to protect him. She chased the devil away and gently placed that blue pillow under Padre Pio's head.
Padre Pio recognized the importance of Mary in our life of faith. Her importance in protecting the church and leading souls to her son, Jesus. It upset him greatly when he would hear misguided or incorrect interpretations of Marian theology. His heart felt great pain at seeing so many souls leaving Jesus. It was vital to recognize Mary in her rightful place as Mother of the Church. In his letters, he said, "May the Most Holy Virgin, who was the first to practice the gospel teaching, even before it was made known, obtain for us the desire to go to her immediately. Always follow behind the Blessed Mother. Always walk close to her because there is no other road that leads to life." When he was asked to teach a prayer that is most pleasing to the Blessed Mother, Padre Pio answered, "And is there one more beautiful or more pleasing than the one she taught us herself? More beautiful than the rosary?"
Amen. He prayed 30 to 40 rosaries a day, fingered them through his stigmata-type hands. Yet he could pray, he could talk to you, and yet say those rosaries at the same time. He could be into the meditative rosary and yet speak to you about what you're talking about. Right, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Special gifts, yeah.
Special gifts. As I said, so many. We have lots more to talk about on our next program. So what we're going to do is we're going to dedicate the Ave Maria in honor of Padre Pio, in honor of every person listening today, in honor of all the prayer intentions. We pray for Nathan. Nathan's a friend of Anne-Marie, your wife Anne-Marie, who has an ulcer, and he's praying he doesn't have an ulcer.
Nathan's our son.
Nathan's your son. God bless you. I didn't know that, John.
Yes.
And we're going to pray that his ulcer go away.
Yes.
And Anne-Marie wanted to pray for Colleen because she's been taken over by prescription drugs.
Yes.
They have harmed her.
Amen.
And we pray for both Colleen and Nathan. God bless you and all of you folks listening. We dedicate to you the beautiful Ave Maria, and we dedicate it to our beautiful Padre Pio, who's such a friend of ours. Go to him. Go to him.
Oh.
And that was Grace Marquet.
Oh.
And Grace, that was a beautiful rendition.
Thank you so
much.
And
thank you for sharing that today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you can imagine where the time went. We're down
it,
to our last couple of minutes.
It absolutely flew. I never spoke so fast in my life. I was saying, I happened to look up at the clock. I went, no, you have to get this in. But actually, what I did say in the beginning was, John, we were going to continue this. In other words.
Yeah, we'll continue.
Yeah, I'm on with John. I'm on with John on the fourth Friday of the month. So when we come back, put it on your calendar next month. Of course, if it's not Thanksgiving month, those, you know, but fourth Friday of the month. And, you know, so that's that'd be a time to tune in. We'll do more of this.
We only got a minute left.
1 minute left. Well, you're going to come back. God bless all of you. We're going to say lots next time. We have so much to say.
Yeah.
And on the Eucharist, on his three-hour masses. Can you imagine being in Mass for 3 hours? His 18 hours in the confessional. His gift of bilocation, being
his
in two places.
His gift of bilocation, yes.
All at the same time. His ability to read souls. Don't go in confession and not tell him you're sin. He's going to know it. Mm. The relics of his bloody gloves used to pray for the sick. His relationship with the soldiers during the Second World War. They would come to his masses. And, of course, well, he had a tremendous sense of humor. I have a couple of stories to tell next time with his humor. It's wonderful. And also, a nice meeting I had with my sister Rita's friend, Colleen. Here I thought I was going
okay,
to tell
her. Okay, so, and with that in mind, we have to cut
with that,
all,
okay, we have to cut
so
it
we
off.
Have to go and say, if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you, and you're never alone.